Hi, thanks for joining us today for this webinar. My name is Brad Sutton, and I'm on the IT Showcase team. Today, we're going to be talking about how Microsoft IT does corporate law and external customer affairs on how we use the Azure platform to manage their business. Today with us, we have Jaydeep and Sagar that are subject matter experts that are going to be discussing this today. Guys, can you introduce yourselves for us today?
Sure. Hi, this is Jaydeep. I am Senior Software Development Engineer in Microsoft IT. I have almost 17 years of experience in software development.
I lead development of
a data platform for Microsoft legal business.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this webinar today. I'm Krishna Sagar. Currently program manager with Microsoft, taking care of the BI program for legal and corporate affairs at Microsoft IT. I have 13 plus years of overall IT experience in which I've partnered with directors and VPs in defining strategic roadmaps, conducted worldwide business engagements. I have implemented and managed several client server data warehousing, mobile application development projects using Scrum, Kanban, Scrum, Bon, and waterfall methods. So today, in this webinar, we will be touching upon how Microsoft IT empowers the corporate external and legal affairs, which is, extended form for LCA, using an Azure data platform, which we have developed for them. So while we are covering this webinar today, we will be touching upon briefly on what is the business environment which we had to deal with, and what are the business units of legal and corporate affairs at Microsoft, and what were the challenges with respect to the delivery environment we had. So coming to the business environment, Microsoft legal and corporate affairs spends hundreds of millions of dollars on law firms and other resource costs to actually run their business. And while doing so, they actually process millions of invoices, purchase orders, etc. We spend heavily in philanthropy, so we process invoices worth close to 1 billion in philanthropy, which Microsoft does. We cater to more than 1,000 lawyers and other professionals we have. Who are part of legal and corporate affairs at Microsoft. We also have close to 40 record centers which host various documents with respect to patents, copyrights, trademarks, global migration, contracts, etc. And specifically coming to the platform we had close to 10 plus data sources with different file formats which we had to actually deal with and contend with. And primarily when we had this legacy platform to do BI work for them, there was this data latency which was close to 36 hours when they were processing this data, which was leading to close to a day and a half of delay in their reports, the reports which they were actually generating. And another added layer or tangential layer to the complexity we had was we had to deal with terabytes of data, which is huge data size, and the legacy architecture of the BI platform which we had at Microsoft IT, which catered to the LCA, did not actually support that. And to sign that off, the business environment, we have different user personas as well. So people who do not have real IT expertise to use various tools, so we had to develop our solution in a very easy to use format, because our BI solution was actually used by lawyers, attorneys, and visa professionals, power users, reporting and analytics teams. Coming to the LCA business units. We have a lot of business units in LCA. We have, global migration, wherein, we deal with the global employee management and employee movement across Microsoft's locations. And we had, we have contract management wherein we process thousands of contracts for Microsoft. We have rich and diverse applications which will actually cater to the patents which Microsoft generates and the trademarks and copyrights which Microsoft generates. And we also have the digital crime unit, which actually processes the licenses which Microsoft products has, and misuse of licenses or where the licenses are actually being used across the world. So those that kind of information is actually processed by the digital crime unit. So our solution actually touches close to 100,000 plus employees in 120 countries, and we have close to 60,000 non-US employees, which are actually, which this application actually touches. Another layer of complexity which we had while we were developing this BI solution was the business was actually looking at, getting a platform, wherein their business requests could be processed in day or two. They were looking at, highly agile way of delivery. The turnaround time which was requested or required by business was anywhere between 1 day to 1 week. And business was most of the times not clear on what exactly is the reporting which they want, or the requirements were changing very frequently, so we had to deal with changing requirements as well. So coming to the specific challenges we had, we can list out the top three challenges which we faced while we were actually developing this BI solution. And this was the challenge for the legacy platform which we had. We actually had 36 hours before the data was actually generated at the source, and till the time it actually was reflected in the report. This was due to multiple hops or different applications or different points of sources between the actual source of the data and the reporting solution per se. So there were a total of 8 hops in between, which was leading to multiple failure points. And the overall predictability or availability, reliability of the system was very low and very poor. And there was large turnaround times whenever any of these failure points materialized into a failure as such. And it used to take a lot of time for us to actually restore service back, because we had to run the whole loop again. So that was one of the issues which we faced, and one of the key issues which we faced. Another problem was that there was limited capability of the legacy platform, in fact, to store and process huge amounts of data, because it was a legacy platform and it did not use any of the big data technologies. So it had limited options to scale, there were hardly any options for us to actually enhance the processing engine, there was limited scope of improving the performance of the system. We tried everything, but the performance of the system was still low. Again, as I said, there were multiple data sources, and there were multiple places from where same data was getting sourced. So we had multiple sources of truth, leading to data inconsistencies. There was data redundancy. There were data quality issues. They were actually catering to very specified set of users who were using the reporting and analytics platform. So while we were developing our solution, we actually kept in mind these three things while we were developing the solution. We based our solution around these three areas of challenge. So first thing what we did as part of our solution when we were developing using Azure services was we actually eliminated these multiple hops. So legacy platform had 8 hops in between. We actually reduced those 8 hops to 4 hops in the current system which we have. And we reduced that 4 hops to actually a single hop in our Azure services platform. So we actually managed to reduce the latency of data from the source system to the end system by eliminating these failure points and eliminating these multiple data hops. by making you know, the system more reliable and available, and you know, we reduce the turnaround times of any failures as well. Another aspect which we did was we actually used an Azure-based platform which is highly capable to provide big data processing and storing. We have, you know, the Azure-based solution provides elasticity of storage. You know, it also can be customized, which is, you know, a big plus with respect to any Microsoft technology, where, you know, you can customize based on, you know, what format of data are you choosing, what format of processing do you need for what kind of data are you, you know, getting it into the system. So that is one of the advantages which we got while we actually based our solution using Microsoft Azure. Again, Azure provides us with better monitoring, out-of-box telemetry, which actually helped us in you know, responding to any questions or any issues, any problems which was there out of the solution much more quickly. So while we developed that, what we did was, by eliminating multiple hops, we based our solution to a single source of truth, and actually you know, single source of truth, and you know, we ensured that we host all the data into our platform, so that you know, we source the data from a single source, so that, you know, we don't get data inconsistencies or redundancies from anywhere. So and what we did was, by doing so, we actually you know, improved the data governance as well, like who is subscribing to our data. So we actually built in those measures where you know, we would know who is using our data, how they are using their data, and for what purpose they are using the data. So we built that data governance into the system, and as I specified earlier, we have a rich set of user personas. So you know, we used simple, effective data visualization tools as our reporting tools, like Power BI and DataXen, and SSRS as well, to an extent, to actually give the reporting to the users.
Good. Thanks, Sagar. This was a very good summary of challenges and the solution approach. In short,
we are focusing on three areas.
One is the data availability, the data redundancy,
and the scalability to enable Microsoft legal business using the data platform that we have built. In the next few slides, we will deep dive into the architecture, starting from the legacy architecture, and then view
the incremental improvement approach
that we took, and then finally building the scalable soft platform using
Azure services. As you can see
in this slide, the legal department of Microsoft is using
third-party software services from various business. These third-party software businesses are exposing the data, and our internal reporting analytics business is utilizing this data for external system. I can pause here for some time if you have any questions,
or, you know, Brad,
let me know if there are any questions which I can answer on the admin window.
So, Sagar and JD, one of the questions that our customers are asking for is, how did you get to where you're at? Is it historical building database upon database upon database to create those hops originally based upon the customer requirement? Or was it architected to have those hops originally? If you could go quickly into how those hops became apparent and how those were developed over time. And then also, if our customers have questions, feel free to post those in the IM window for any additional questions. So I thought I'd get the ball rolling to keep it interactive. But if you could go quickly into that and then give our customers some opportunity to ask those questions as well.
Sure, Brad. So coming to the legacy architecture, which I explained that there were 8 hops, this was a platform which was actually, you know, envisioned by the business. And, you know, it was envisioned from a standpoint that the easiest way to acquire data from a source, rather than thinking from a big picture where, you know, what is the best way to acquire and source the data, and, you know, what is the best possible architecture. So it was purely developed from a viewpoint of how easily can we get to the reporting stage and report the data out of it without actually thinking the big picture, end-to-end picture of how, you know, the platform can be developed, you know, in the best possible manner. So that was the reason why we had these multiple hops, and, you know, there was this data redundancy which actually, you know, resulted as part of that. So it was not something which, you know, which was, you know, built over time. It was just convenience. It was just ease of acquiring the data for reporting more than anything else.
Yeah, I concur with you, Sagar. Like if we see the architecture diagram, there are various databases like
T360,
Phoenix, NGMM. NGMM is our next generation matter management. And there were business requirements to get data in various form at various stages. And that's how the point solutions were built to address the immediate business need. In that case, there was more significance given to get the reports as soon as possible. And we there are some stages where the data is passing through. This actually resulted in various, you know, different hops for the data to come from T360 to the report LCA reports portal. And in the outcome of this, you know, stages is the data is getting processed, or sometimes it is just passed through from one system to another, and each system has its own data refresh schedule. So if you add up all the refresh schedules of each data by passing or processing, it was adding up to almost 36 hours for data to reach from T360 to the reporting portal. So what we did as a first step is to reduce the stages which are not adding much value to the data which is consumed from the source system. So we eliminated those stages. As you see on the slide, there is lot more, lot
less number
of databases which are processing that data. This is done by carefully analyzing the transformation, if any, happening within those 8 stages and consolidating those processing in one
central system, which is called RNS staging. So this particular improvement actually resulted in getting the data
flow to as low as
10 hours.
Or, you know, around 10 hours to get data from T360 to the reporting portals. Okay, so in this, though, we have really addressed one of the pain point of business of you know, delay in data availability.
There is still
a lot more to do.
We wanted to have you know, a BI platform, a data platform where we can have all the legal data staged at one single place. And that way we can actually
reduce the data duplication
happening across some of the legal businesses in Microsoft. And we want to ensure that
there are no duplicate data staged in all those environments. To do that, what we have wanted to have is a really scalable and highly available system which is which can
take up stage a huge amount of data. So
best thing for us to go is to look at the reimagining the system, the way we are you know, processing the data. In traditional approach, what we have seen is the data processing
happens in ETL way, which is extract, transform, and load,
where the data is taken from all the different sources. And while
acquiring data,
the processing engine transforms the data
and keep it ready
for BI tools to process. The issue with this extract transform load is
extraction of data and transformation of data are highly tightly coupled together. When that happens, there is
a constraint on scaling scaling for the size of the data and scaling for the performance in processing the data. The latest approach that a lot of big data handling systems are following is ELT, where we first just
take the raw data from various businesses
or various sources. At this point, since there is no transformation happening, there is no much attention to the format of data or type of data or size of data. So we can use any of the
data acquisition technology to get the data,
and the data is stored in the raw format. Once we have the data acquisition done, we can actually run any of the transformation engine to process the data, process the raw data, and keep it ready for BI applications to consume. So this approach is ELT. In the next slide, you can see how a legacy system, which was actually getting
data from the database and having multiple
hops through SQL databases,
getting into the portal, is transformed into a different,
a very scalable platform.
In this case, if you see on the
left side, we have various businesses
giving us data on
maybe T360. T360 is Timetrix, which is providing us matter management related
data. And we have InsZoom.
InsZoom is providing us the global migration
data. And we have a ContractPro, SiteQuest. Benevity is the philanthropy data that Sagar just mentioned,
where Microsoft Business is putting a lot of dollars, millions of dollars, or even billions of dollars of Azure services. That data is flowing from Benevity
and related
Azure sources. Apart from this sources, we have internal sources like Mercury, FieldStore, SAP, MS Market, and those are internal Microsoft tools, processing data from various different businesses within Microsoft. At the same time, we have third parties like Anaqua
and a legal contact tool. Anaqua is currently providing
us the patent
or intellectual property guidance related data. So all this data are acquired in its raw format. Azure Data Factory
is utilized
To ingest this raw data from various sources.
We will actually go and do a deep dive into selection of the data acquisition
technology.
So as of now, let's concentrate on
where
the data is stored. See, the data from all these data sources is stored in raw format in Azure Blob Storage. Azure Blob Storage, due to its low cost and high availability characteristics, becomes a default choice for a data store. This, because of this high availability and extensibility, it also becomes a right choice to
scale to any of the legal
data businesses that will be onboarded to these one data platform. We have this data, as you can see on the
mid of this slide, where we have data from Timetrix, which
provides the matters, invoices, the
exchange rates, and all. While the data for from Mercury is
about internal order payables and all. So all these data sources are available in the central location,
in the raw format.
One advantage
of having all this data at one place is any business can start consuming any data available on the store and relate to its own data and create reports.
So that way, one legal business is able to really collaborate very well with the other businesses and correlate data and provide the data intelligence. Right.
This pattern
optimize the data flow also. If you see now, there is no hops for data flow from one system to another to really start processing data and finding out the
getting the intelligence of the data, because there is only one
hop, and that one hop is getting data from the source system and putting it in
raw format on one storage, which is
blob storage. So automatically this reduced the three-stage process in the previous incrementally improved solution to only one stage, where which reduces the performance of the system as well.
We will cover a refinery and the reporting analytics,
the dashboard part, in the upcoming slides. But as a natural transition,
now that we have a raw data, let's move to the slide,
which
is a technical evaluation of
the data transfer technologies. As mentioned earlier in this session,
the Microsoft legal business is
acquiring data from various third-party systems. Right? So, and this data comes from various forms and sizes. What does that mean? There is no single
technology which can fit into
all those needs.
That also means that we need to be able to utilize various different data
transfer
technologies.
On this slide, I have depicted the different
technologies that we have evaluated which made sense for data platform that we built.
So we have SSIS, ADF, and Polybase. SSIS is mainly used for on-premises database
where there is a
more SQL to SQL type of connections.
It provides a very good support. It has been really very highly successful technology in the integration of two SQL databases.
But as we go into the blobs and the past technologies, SSIS really did not
scale well for those scenarios, wherein Azure Data Factory really provided a wide range of destinations
and wide range of connections between various different data sources. Those are Azure Data Storage, SQL Azure, SQL On-Premise, or SQL Data Warehouse. So why Polybase? If we have Azure Data Factory, which provides all this rich functionality, data source and destination,
ranges.
Why do we use Polybase? Polybase is a technology that actually is available in SQL Data Warehouse now. If we have actually processed a 30 GB of file using ADF, and we found that it's really taking a huge time, which is almost
to be 5 hours to 6 hours of
moving data from blobs to any SQL for processing. So ADF wasn't really giving us a very good performance, and Polybase came for a rescue. We were able to transfer the same 30 GB of data from one system, from blobs, that is in raw format, to SQL Azure for processing, and that happens in 10 minutes. So, of course,
we need to utilize
what makes sense where. While Polybase
provides a very good performance from blob to
a SQL data warehouse, it really doesn't give too many
options in different
destinations. Okay. So that's about the data transfer. So we are actively using ADF and Polybase. Moving on to the processing engine, the best part of using this pattern for processing data is we can choose between the technology
based on the type of data
and the size of data that we are processing. We have seen the ADF, Azure Data Factory, and Polybase how we use
where each scenario made sense. In the processing engine also, we have actually evaluated quite a few options, and those are
evaluated based on various criteria. So one of the criteria was processing small databases versus a large database, processing relational databases versus processing non-relational databases or data sets. So we have found that if we have small database, the SQL Azure provides us the best cost per performance metrics, and those data
can be quickly processed
and made available to all the BI tools for creating a data insight. So we have
data which is ranging from few GBs to few terabytes.
So we couldn't use only one processing engine for processing all the types of data
sets that we have. I would actually encourage if we have any questions for the evaluations done so far
on the data
on data transfer
and data processing before I move to data further in data processing.
One of the things that I was vacillating and talking and thinking about, Sagar and Jadeep, is you have these three data sources. And when taking a look at your infrastructure, one of the questions may be, so rather than reduce these hops, why not just do data consolidation into one database? Was that an option, or had you thought about that, or could you do that, and why was that a hurdle?
Yeah, so data consolidation was one of the ways in which we actually reduced the data redundancy and duplicacy of the data and data quality. But consolidation was not the only issue with the number of hops we had. Number of hops we had was because at different points, these different hops meant different things. I mean, different hops served different purposes to different businesses within LCA. And it was difficult to actually consolidate all these different applications into one. So what we're talking about here is we actually stripped out the data which was actually getting processed through all these hops, and we ensured and we made sure that we are actually taking out the real essence of data, making sense of it, what actually is making sense of it to the business, and then taking that out and actually making our platform as source of it. So consolidation was definitely one of the ways in which we solved this, but to address the data latency issue, we had to make sure that the number of failure points or the number of hops which we had from source to destination was also reduced. So data consolidation, as Jaydeep mentioned, actually served another purpose of it. So if I look at some of the user personas which we have, within LCA, we have, directors and VPs of, financial organizations which actually, look at our data or, depend on our data to actually do the reporting. Now, when we say financial reporting, they look at various different segmentations of data. Say, for example, what is my, last financial year's legal spend? So to actually get the data, you actually need to source information from various different sources, which includes, data sources which in which patents are generated, data sources which intellectual property gets generated, data sources in which invoices are tracked, internal data sources wherein the employee information is stored. So we actually had to develop a system which actually pulls all this information and consolidates into one and develops a cross-section of the report which actually uses all this data. So that was one of the cases or business cases which we actually had to solve various business problems which we are trying to deal with. And as you mentioned, elimination of data hops is just one way in which we addressed some of the reporting issues which we had.
I think Brad has one more question.
Brad?
So we get a question here that says, as a business owner in Microsoft Legal, how did you prevent downtime or end user dissatisfaction when you're working with all of this data? How is it transparent to the legal business customer inside of Microsoft? And how did you make that transparency and transition to the new solution?
Okay, so so we had this legacy system wherein we had issues where if there was any failure, the data was not available to the business for reporting. We had problems with the way we were processing the data or making it available. So what we thought was, one of the foremost things which we thought, while developing this Azure platform, as Jaideep also touched upon earlier in the session, was availability of the system, right? So we devised ways in which, we can make data available to the business in spite of failures. So one of the ways to do that was to actually make sure that the business is not losing data even though there are failures upstream, and responding to failures in a much quicker way and restoring the service back. So if we have to do that, we need to reduce the number of failure points and increase the turnaround, reduce the turnaround times which you are actually making data available to business. So one of the ways in which we actually addressed that was cube rotation. Say, for example, if we have a cube in which we have processed the data on a certain date, we make that available to the business. And we have a parallel cube for the next processing, which will actually process all the data and ensure that, that cube is populated with all the data. Now, if there is a failure in this cube, it will ensure that the earlier cube which was exposed to the business is still exposed and, the data is not deleted. And we ensure that the restoration of the, alternative cube is processed and made sure that it is available. And then we swap the queue so that the business will get the latest data, processed data. If it is not, we always give a visibility to business saying, when was this data refreshed, using our timestamps within the queue, saying if business is looking at a particular data, they would always know of which day a particular data set was refreshed. So that was one of the ways in which we made business aware that this is the date in which the data was refreshed. If not, what are the different ways in which we can, ensure that the data is available to the business. We also leveraged the notification services, the logging mechanisms of Azure solution to ensure that the business is actually communicated proactively of any failures so that they can expect what is the turnaround time by which the service would be restored. So these are the different ways in which we actually, help business get more hold on what data are they looking at, how quickly they can get hold of the data, if there is a failure, when they can expect the service to be back.
Right. Perfect. This is very good very good explanation. I will add on to that with few more points. With the new system in place, we are storing data on the blob. Blob is really already highly redundant data store. So whenever we have a raw data stored on blobs, the availability is never a question. Compared to the previous system where we are transforming data on the fly, and when you lose the data, you lose the transformation, right? In the new process where we have extract and load and then transfer, we have raw data available for us every time, so we can run the processing engine on demand. So if there are any availability issues with the processed data, the processing engine will spin up and process the data and keep it give it to the BI tools for analysis very quickly. So the new pattern of ELT, where transformation can be done on demand on the raw data, is really very highly available and scalable solution, which is helping Microsoft legal business. Good. So I'll continue with from where we left talking about the SQL Azure. So SQL Azure is being used for processing a small set of data, which is mainly coming from citizenship business, right? But SQL Azure was not able to load even few GBs of data if it goes from 5 GBs to 10 GBs and process that data to be consumed by the BI tools. We looked at various other options where we can process at least 10 to 20 GBs of data. So there were two options available for us, readily available on Microsoft Azure data platforms, which are HD Insight and SQL data warehouse. So choosing between the HD Insight and SQL data warehouse, we went through a few criteria of choosing what is the best for the business as well as for IT in terms of maintainability. If we see HD Insight, we have to transform the current business logic into a different query language called HiQuery. So the development effort or transformation efforts from existing BI stack to the new technology stack is high in terms of HD Insight. The other part is about also the stability of it. So on-demand HD Insight was taking almost 20 minutes to spin up versus SQL data warehouse scaling up and scaling down was taking less than a minute. So in that case, we actually found SQL data warehouse much preferred option. At the same time, the performance numbers of processing the data using SQL data warehouse and HD Insight was very near and comparable. So for us, it really made sense to utilize a SQL data warehouse for transforming the current legacy BI system to the Azure platform as a service system. SQL data warehouse and HD Insight also provides this independently scalability in terms of store and processing. So when we are increasing the power of data warehouse from 100 data warehouse units to 1,000 data warehouse or 400 data warehouse, we really don't have to change the scalability store performance in terms of the size of the store. So that's about this technology evaluation. So we used SQL Azure for processing a small amount of data and SQL data warehouse for using the large amount of data. So once we have the processing in terms of processing engine evaluation done and processing and data store evaluation done, data acquisition evaluation done, we need to move towards exposing the data which is in the raw format or semi-processed format or semi-transformed format to the BI tools. In legacy systems, we have a SQL tables, and that's the only one way of exposing the data is like views and tables, right? So here on the data catalog, what we have on the Azure PaaS solutions, we have data stored on the blobs, and the blobs is really not really very accessible in easy way for any data consumers. It can be a BI tool, power users, or a business. So we had to use a catalog technology. Azure comes up with the Azure data catalog, which by default is actually supporting various different data sources. We can have on-premise SQL or SQL Azure or blob storage, Hive tables, HD Insight, exposed as a data available for any users to access discover the availability. On the top of that, Azure Data Catalog also provides a discoverability of SSRS reports and cubes, so which is much much better technology to provide the visibility of data that is stored in a raw format, and also visibility of the tools which we can use for a BI on top of it. So that's about Azure Catalog. Azure Catalog, though it provides all this rich functionality, two things that it doesn't provide is about the subscription management, and other one is the authorization authentication. So while it doesn't provide that, it provides the extension, or we can have our own subscription management and authorization and authentication management on top of this Azure Data Catalog. I can briefly touch upon the Data Mall. I think Data Mall is a custom solution in Microsoft, which is exactly doing the same thing that Azure Data Catalog is doing. Towards the end of this technology evaluation, once we have the data available and discoverable, what are the tools that Microsoft Legal business is using for getting the insights of the data? So we have enabled Power BI dashboard, which is currently being used by Citizenship. We have enabled Data Zen, which is very effective and performant system currently available in Microsoft, which provides the data visualization capability on the websites and as well as on mobile. The Data Zen also provides a lot of caching options, and that way when data is rendered on the web or the phone, we are still seeing a very good user experience accessing the data. So that's what I have in terms of technology evaluation for the legal data platform.
So at this point in time, I would like to check if we have any questions, or we can move forward.
We can move forward. We're about ready to wrap this up. I've got a few closing comments, but we'll check to see if there's any questions at the end here.
Sure, Brad. Thanks. So thanks, Jadeep. That was a very detailed explanation of how we have actually arrived at the solution which we have developed for the legal business. In depth, we actually covered a lot of ways in which we evaluated different options to come up with the best possible solution for the business, in terms of making the data available to them for their reporting. So coming to the results of our effort here, and how did it transform, or how did it help the legal business to actually do better reporting, do more timely reporting than anything else? So the first way, first result is directly related to the first problem which I highlighted earlier, was 36 plus hours of data latency. So by reducing the number of hops from 8 to 2, we actually reduce the failure points significantly, right? So less number of failure points, less number of, less chance of failure, higher turnaround time. So as Jadeep touched upon earlier, we reduced the data latency from 36 plus hours in the legacy system to less than 10 hours in the current state. And it is now less than 3 hours in the Azure-based solution. So we have actually made it very close to real-time availability of the data. And it actually improves the mean time to restore, which is less than 3 hours in case of failure. So earlier it used to be more than 24 hours, 12 to 24 hours. So we drove high performance using our solution. The second one is about support for big data. So the core tenet of our solution was to scale the data and performance independently, which was not being done by the legacy system or the current state system. So using the Azure platform, we made sure that the basic tenet of any big data solution is actually met, wherein we can scale the data and the processing engine appropriately and as needed, and depending on the data set which you are processing. So it also not only does that, it also provides capability of rich data analytics, and it provides the data visualization which Jadeep just showed previously. And out of box telemetry is available in our Azure-based platform, which will give us on how different users are using our system. The last the one which we spoke about, the problem was about the data consolidation and not having a single source of truth. By having an LCA data lake, we actually did the consolidation of data into one single platform where business can actually hit a single source to get any data which they want for their reporting. And they can hook up any of the reporting tools which they want, be it Power BI, DataZen, Power Query, Power View, Power Pivot, and Power Map, which are actually tools which are provided out of box in Excel. So Excel is also leveraged as a powerful reporting tool within legal, so we had to support that as well. So our solution supports that. Not only does that, it actually gives the power to the end users to develop their report and thereby empowering them to do self-reporting. So we actually also did, gave the agility to the business users by actually exposing the data to them directly. So the benefits are directly consequences of the results which we have. So we have now a single stop shop for any data requirements which the LCA business has. We have data source normalization. We do not have any redundant sources of data. We have single source, and we are very close to source, so that data quality issues taken care. We gave access, business access to raw data if they want to do any POCs or analysis on those data. We did self-reporting so that business can develop the reports quickly, efficiently, as early as they want. We also eliminated a lot of personal dependencies. So one of the features which Jadeep showed in the BI tools was the LCA dashboard, which actually drives or eliminates personal dependencies a lot. And we actually gave them a consolidated dashboard view of all the reporting as well, which will help them. And by doing that, we also actually created a reusable platform which other BI applications can also leverage. So I think that's about it as far as the benefits and the results are concerned. So if you have any questions, we're happy to take.
So thanks, guys. One of the questions that we had here, before we ask this last question, if you could take a moment to fill out your evaluation that you're seeing on the screen, we'd really appreciate that. One of the questions that I had from the audience here was, so what's the next steps? What are you guys doing as the future steps and looking at the business? What are you evaluating? What are you testing? And what do the futures look like?
So one of the things which we are testing definitely at this point in time, we have leveraged some of the BI tools which we have, or big data technologies which we have, which is SG Insight and other technologies. So we are just taking baby steps at this point in time. We have moved a couple of businesses over to our Azure platform. We are supporting a couple of our businesses on our Azure platform. So as we go along, we are we are in the process of actually retiring our current state solution, which is an on-prem solution, and hosting everything on cloud. And we are also looking at hosting and processing big data on our platform, we are also evaluating our Azure Data Lake as a product. That is one of the next steps we have. So Azure Data Lake as a product is one of the Microsoft's offerings for end-to-end big data platform. So we will be evaluating Azure Data Lake platform as a product as well, to see if it actually comes into the mix somewhere, and how we can make use of Azure Data Lake product along with SQL Data Warehouse, HD Insight, and SQL Azure. So how it fits into the whole mix and make it more customizable for our business users rather than depending on a single point solution.
So one of the other questions that we have is, Microsoft's a big company with hundreds of thousands of employees. How is this applicable to a small or medium-sized business? How do you leverage this same technology? Is it only for enterprise companies, or can it be reduced to a small to medium-sized business? And what would you recommend?
So this is a good question, Brad. You know, this is the question that we mostly get from our consumers. If you see the pattern that is used in developing this BI data platform, we already in legal business are processing a small data, which is in terms of small GBs of data, to the large data, which is almost 5 to 7 terabytes of data. The same solution pattern will be applicable for all those business needs. So it's about choosing the right technology and fitting it in this pattern to get all the advantages that you need from past solution in terms of no data redundancy, high data availability, high performance, and on-demand processing. Right, this pattern also provides the same small and businesses to have the data readily available or on-demand process data to be exposed to all the BI tools that I showed in this screen in the previous slides, where you can have a Power BI, DataZen on web or mobile, or you can develop your own custom dashboard and expose the data that way.
So that's perfect. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time and answering these questions. I hope our customers got a lot of great insights from your conversations and from your experience working with the Azure platform to really take our legal and customer affairs organization to the next level and making sure that their data is accurate and available when they need it. So with that, I want to say thank you for participating in today's webinar. If you'd like to see more of these, go up to microsoft.com/WAC IT Showcase and take a look at the next webinar that we have available to you.